Good morning, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, celebrating Older Americans Month at 50 North, Ohio's Senior Center of the Year, and you're invited to come out and see why. Also this morning, can you hear me now? May is also Better Hearing Month. The earliest signs of hearing loss can be subtle but important to address because it's a condition that is often irreversible. And leveraging technology in the workplace isn't just about reducing costs and boosting sales. High-tech tools are also making entire industries safer for employees and the public. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. So I saw this story on the Newswire this morning, jumped out at me, and I did some checking, and apparently it does not impact us, but Red Lobster closing dozens of locations abruptly across the country yesterday, and they expect more to be closing this week. Roughly 50 restaurants just up and closed their doors yesterday, but not ours. As a matter of fact, there were none on the list. I was perusing the list of stores that are no longer open, according to the news reports, and Ohio was not included on that list at all. Most of them in Florida, which probably makes sense if you think about it. In Florida, they've got a number of really, really good local seafood restaurants, locally sourced seafood restaurants. So I can imagine Red Lobster particularly would struggle in those places like that. But not our Red Lobster, though, which is good. We just lost fins, so we lose another seafood restaurant. What in the world are we going to do? But yeah, just out of that, they've been struggling for a while, Red Lobster has. And one of the straw that broke camel's back, as it were, was the all-you-can-eat shrimp deal that they did. What was that, last year? They had the big all-you-can-eat shrimp deal. They said it hurt them in two ways. Number one, it was incredibly expensive because people are, you know, eating lots of shrimp. And number two, not only did they make less money on a per-diner basis because it was all-you-can-eat, people would hang around and take up table space forever. And so they had fewer customers. They could seat fewer customers because people are hanging around. So not only were they making less money per customer, they were serving fewer customers. Not a great deal, as it turned out. They have been really struggling of late. This, I thought, was also interesting. Speaking of business news, apparently yesterday GameStop stock went on a wild ride once again. You remember back a few years ago, when GameStop stock suddenly became the hottest thing on Wall Street. It was those meme stocks. It was GameStop, and then there were some other struggling companies that suddenly found themselves flush with cash with their stock prices going through the roof. Keith Gill, also known as Roaring Kitty, made a return to social media yesterday. He was the guy that largely triggered the meme stock rally of 2021, which put the squeeze on investors who had shorted GameStop stock. His recent post on social media, this was on X, has already been viewed 11 million times, with some commentators seemingly wondering if Roaring Kitty is going to suggest a new company's stock. One user noting to Roaring Kitty's return, "Hey bro, what we buying today?" GameStop value rose 2,000% back in the first few months of 2021 when this took off. Yesterday, shares rose 110% after Mr. Gill hopped back on social media. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with that, but the whole thing turned out to be much ado about nothing. We spent some time talking about the after effects of all of that. I don't want to say it turned out to be a scam, but it was just shy of being a scam. You know? Anyway, but yesterday, another wild ride for GameStop. Apparently, we're back on that thing again. Speaking of scams, this is a scam. People always want to make money. They turn a quick buck. The Oregon Lottery is warning of lotto jackpot scams. Remember the $1.3 billion Powerball jackpot that was recently won in Oregon and apparently out there? And I don't know that this is necessarily limited to Oregon. It's good advice for everybody. But apparently after the $1.3 billion Powerball jackpot was claimed in the state of Oregon most recently, scammers were sending text messages to random folks claiming that the winner was donating his or her prize money at random to 10 people, just giving it away, as if somebody would do that with $1.3 billion. But apparently people fell for it, and the victims are asked to call a phone number to claim the money when they receive the text message. So you need to call this number and claim your money, and then, of course, they want to get your personal information, your financial information, your bank account information, so they can transfer the money into your account. What they're, of course, actually doing is transferring all the money out of your account. And so lottery officials say, don't give your information over the phone. And if something appears too good to be true, it usually is. Sad that in 2024, we still have to tell people that, but we do. Speaking of scams, now, this is maybe, every scam is horrible. I don't want to clarify that. But as terrible scams go, this is right up there at the top of the list. A volunteer fire department in Maryland has lost over $100,000, after they sent nearly $250,000 to someone they thought they were buying new ambulances from. This is the story. The Rockville, Maryland Volunteer Fire Department was apparently the victim of a business email compromise scam. They thought they were sending funds to a vendor that they had purchased new ambulances from. But the vendor, it was a legitimate vendor, it sold them the ambulances, but they never received the funds. Instead, scammers had swooped in and sent a different bank information to the department posing as the vendor. They sent a separate email, looked like it was coming from the original vendor, said, hey, we've changed our bank account information. You need to forward the funds to this account. And they fell for it. So the scammers obviously had, posed as the vendor to get them. About $100,000 of the $250,000 has been recovered, but it is unclear if the fire department will receive the rest of the money. So they are out about $120,000, roughly. President of the RVFD, Eric Bernard, said the thought that anyone would think of stealing from volunteer first responders is mind-boggling. It is, but mind-boggling for sure, but not really surprising, right? I mean, just crazy. What can you say? That is the lowest of the low. Yeah. The only thing worse are, people who steal from little kids. I think that would be about the only thing that I could imagine would be worse than stealing from first responders in something like that. This is something that we may want to pay very close attention to over the next couple of weeks. More wildfires in Western Canada. You remember last year when we were hit with really terrible air quality days, dangerous air quality with the smoke from all of the Canadian wildfires. You remember that was one of the stories of the summer last year. Well, air quality alerts were issued yesterday for Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and Minnesota, as smoke and haze from wildfires in Western Canada drifted over that region. There are over 145 active wildfires currently burning in Canada. So we're not in the path right now, but definitely something to watch in the coming days and weeks. Wildfire season back in for our neighbors to the north. And you remember, a lot of these wildfires burn for weeks on end because they are out in incredibly remote areas where there are very few roads and very few firefighters to try to get to the flames. So they're tough to combat, and many times they're just left to burn until they burn themselves out. But you get the after effects here in this country. And lastly, this morning, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, a new study from the University of Oxford has found that using the internet could actually make you happier. Now, this was a bit of an eyebrow-raising study. Researchers analyzed data from 2 million people in 168 countries. So this was not a limited study. This is a wide-ranging study. And they found that life satisfaction was 8.5% higher for those with internet access. 84.9% of associations between internet connectivity and well-being were actually positive. We hear all of the stories about the negative impacts of the internet on our lives. But what they find is that the internet, using the internet, can actually make you happier. The professor in charge of the study says, yes, we were surprised to find this positive correlation. However, and this is the caveat, this is the asterisk at the end of the study. While the study did take education, income, and health into consideration, it did not examine social media use. Analyzed internet use, but not social media use as a part of the study. How can you, and I looked at that and I thought, how in the world can you create a study where it looks at the impact of internet use in 2024 and not include social media? That kind of invalidates. The only thing that that does for me, I look at that, I say, well, then we know that social media is the big culprit. Because if you take social media out and our lives are happier with the internet, then it must be social media that is at the root of all evil when it comes to internet, right? I mean, think about it. That must be it. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of crazy. How in the world can you study internet use and not include social media? There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Showers and storms possible today, a high around 70. Showers possible tonight, a low around 60. The first two FEMA disaster recovery centers have opened a few months after that deadly EF3 tornado tore through a community in northwestern Ohio.
One is in Russell's Point. The other is in St. Mary's, Ohio. There, FEMA specialists will be available to help victims of the March 14th tornadoes apply for federal disaster assistance.
Go sit down with our folks. Tell them your story. Let them know your story. And let's make that human connection to get you the support that you need.
Meanwhile, FEMA says centers in the other nine affected counties will open in the coming weeks. I'm Colin Dorsey.
An EF1 tornado touched down during that severe weather event in southwestern Hancock County, severely damaging some houses and barns. See a video of the damage and the story on our website. One of the biggest military shows in the country will once again be happening in Findlay. The Findlay Show, 37th Annual Armed Forces Day Celebration, runs Thursday through Sunday morning at the Hancock County Fairgrounds. John Cheney II is commander of the Findlay Military Association.
Our tribute to the brave men and women of the Armed Forces celebrating Armed Forces Day, which is Saturday, the third Saturday of every May. Saturday is our really busy day, so I'd like to invite everybody to come out.
The event will include helicopter rides, a military vehicle swap meet, reenactors, food vendors, and much more. Get more details in the story on our website. The Ohio Department of Transportation is letting people know of some ramp closures on Interstate 75 in northern Hancock County. ODOT says the I-75 northbound ramps at State Route 613 will be closed from Thursday, May 16th to Saturday, May 25th for concrete pavement repairs. State Route 613 between the I-75 overpass and Van Buren will be restricted to local traffic only. Get more details on this and other local ODOT projects in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So our cover story this morning, May is Older Americans Month. They are celebrating at 50 North, which is Ohio's Senior Center of the Year, and you are invited to come out and see why. Beth Wilkins is with us from 50 North. Beth, thanks very much for dropping by. It's a big honor, Senior Center of the Year. So.
It was huge, and it was a surprise.
Yeah.
We didn't know. And so we thought after, you know, people got to hear it on the radio, see it in the paper everywhere else, it was actually on the ONN network.
Right.
So they started calling saying, I don't know much about you. I'd love to come and see you. So we thought we'd have a big open house.
Sure.
And at the same time, celebrate Older Americans Month.
So this actually is geared for those who are eligible to join and be members, but maybe not necessarily are.
Right. We're going to open it to the community. We are starting to get a lot of calls from people in their 40s and 50s asking about their parents, and they may need services or something like that. So it is open to the community. And, you know, we'll have all of our staff will be all hands on deck. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. So you can visit each department, find out about us, come see our building.
Yeah, I was going to say, if maybe folks have not been there in a while since the big expansion was completed, this would be an opportunity to see what is new. Maybe you've been before, but it's been a while. It is a completely different animal now.
Boy, is it. Yeah. And most people don't know there's a whole lower level. That's an entire wellness center. So we have things planned. Line dancing demos. We also have some of our fitness classes. You'll be able to see those demos. And you, too, can experience the hydromassage bed and lounger.
Okay. Very popular, I would imagine.
It's very popular. Okay. You know, you can take a little walk on the indoor track as well, if you'd like.
You have arts and crafts displays and, you know, that kind of thing. You've got a lot of different programs surrounding these types of things.
We do. We have a giant art room that's encased in glass, and we use it mornings, afternoons, and evenings for different types of art classes. So all of the artists that we use that are local and crafters, they will have their stuff out on table so you can see kind of like things we've already done. It's just kind of a, you know, people just think you sit in a corner and knit. And we know that's not true.
Yeah. Although you can if you want to, but... It's not necessarily far from the only things that, that is going on. You mentioned a lot of inquiries about various services that you provide, such as, talk a little bit about, you know, some of what it is that you do.
We have three full-time social workers in our outreach department, and they are a really big resource center for anything from Medicare to housing to needing food right away, those types of things. Also for younger people, they're like, I don't know how to put my parent into a facility. What are the steps I take to do that? We also have a big chore department. Right now, all the guys are out there mowing. In the winter, they're out there doing snow.
Yeah.
But we have a whole group that builds ramps because we have a rental ramp program. And then we also have guys that go into homes to put up grab bars, take care of small carpentry needs and or plumbing needs. And aside from that, our nutrition department, a lot of senior centers don't have that. We still have curbside delivery, frozen meals to go. The cafe is huge. We do about 170 people a day.
Yeah. It is a very, very busy place. I know you mentioned some of the helpful advice and resources and so on. You do programs on a number of those topics from time to time as well with respect to health and social services, that kind of thing, how to avail yourself of those services and just general programs on getting the most out of life, I guess.
All day long we do. Yeah. We have a lot of surgeons that come in to, you know, keep you abreast of new shoulder surgery, what's new in hips, those types of things. The Historical Museum comes in. We also have free movies every Friday with free popcorn. But we do have a lot of programming geared to what seniors want to know. Mm-hmm. Our Spanish class, beginning Spanish, is full. People want to pick up a second language, but they always want to learn. So our most of our best programming comes from suggestions from other seniors. Mm-hmm.
And during the open house, you'll have information on all of those programs. I mean, we could go on and on and on about the various programs that you have for whatever someone's interest may be.
Travel. Our travel department is huge. In fact, we have three big trips coming up. So they'll be available. And volunteering. We have over 300 volunteers that do different things for us. And so you'll be able to talk to that coordinator as well.
You got more trips coming up? What's coming up?
I leave tomorrow for the Ark. Ah. Have you been to the Ark?
I have not been to the Ark. Oh, we've talked with the folks at the Ark before.
Oh, yeah.
But it is quite the experience. I know folks who have gone. So
yeah. I'm telling you. And the Creation Museum. So this is a two-day trip. Yep. We also have a big trip out west in August, national parks. And then Italy in September,
wow,
just to name a few.
Again, here is a perfect example of things that may surprise people when they drop out for the open house to learn just how wide-ranging some of these programs are. I mean, you talk about trips to Italy, for crying out loud.
Our trips, they just sell out fast.
Yeah.
We'll do about 10 day trips and 10 extended trips as well, and cruises. Cruises fill up fast.
Yeah. So, again, this is an opportunity to meet the entire crew at 50 North and talk about all of these programs and the various categories, whether we're talking about, you know, just regular activities or the outreach, the chore services, travel, whatever it might happen to be, answer questions and all of that. For those who are then so motivated, who want to sign up for a membership, that is really easy to do. You can, I'm assuming, do that on that date as well.
Yes, you can. You are good, Mr. Oaks. Yes, you can. We also have member services. They'll be available. And we also have a huge thank you to the Findlay-Hancock County Community Foundation Fund for All Grant, which helps us do things on Saturday to involve the community.
So this is coming up on this Saturday, right?
Saturday, 1 to 3, and you'll leave with a special little gift.
All right. And if folks cannot make it on Saturday, if something is going on and maybe I can't make it out on Saturday for the open house, you can always drop by.
We have that all the time. And sometimes people will say, I drive by all the time and I'm finally going to stop.
Yeah.
You can take a tour anytime. And we will have tours available on Saturday.
Okay. We've got a link up for more information about 50 North and everything that is going on. Just about every day, there's a, you know, the calendar is full. So
it certainly is.
It is definitely the place to be. Yes?
50north.org will let you know all about it.
There you go. And again, you can go to goodmornings.net. We have that link posted there as well. Beth Wilkins from 50 North with us this morning. Thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, most of us probably can't imagine not being able to hear and the way that would impact our lives. I mean, obviously, being in radio, I have very vested interest in making sure that I can maintain my hearing and that our listeners can maintain their hearing as well. Don't mess with my livelihood here. As it happens, May is Better Hearing Month. And MJ D'Souza is with us this morning. She is audiologist and director of patient experience at Belltone. MJ, one of the things that you point out, and I think this is really interesting, the things make this challenging, is that the earliest warning signs of hearing loss are rather subtle and are not always picked up on. What are some of the warning signs that people should be aware of that they may have an issue with their hearing?
That is a great question. And yeah, to your point, some of the early signs of hearing loss are subtle and often get overlooked. So it's really important to draw attention to those. Some of the earliest warning signs of hearing loss would be increased difficulty hearing in noisier situations. And so it could be that you're misunderstanding more than you used to or more than other people in the group that you're with in those noisy situations, or increased fatigue after you've been in those situations because it you're now being required to concentrate that much harder in order to hear in those situations. Other signs could be that you feel like people are mumbling. So you hear that they're speaking, but the clarity is just not there. And it's a little more challenging to understand what they're saying.
I thought this was kind of interesting. One of the ones on the list, and we spend so much time on our devices these days, finding telephone conversations increasingly difficult to understand. Again, same kind of thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. If you notice that you're struggling more on the phone, that definitely could be a sign. And, you know, to your point, we are on our phones and our devices more than ever before.
And with respect to that, I know that has been a bit of a concern. Again, as much time as we spend with our devices and we got our earbuds in, I know people who walk around practically 24/7 with their earbuds in their ears, even if they're not necessarily listening to anything through their devices. Is that really healthy? Is that the best thing we can be doing for our ears and our hearing?
Noise exposure is a huge risk factor when it comes to hearing loss. So if you are listening to earbuds, it's really important to pay attention to the volume level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one trick that I tell people to use is, you know, after you've listened to music with your earbuds, take them off, leave them off for about an hour, and then put them back on and keep the level at the same level that it was when you turned it off. And just see if it seems really loud. That could be an indication that it's too loud.
Yeah.
Some devices now have, in the health app, can tell you if you've been listening at a level that's excessively loud. So that's a great way to check that as well.
So we talk about some of these warning signs, some of the things that we maybe inadvertently do or do without even thinking that can impact our hearing. Why is it important to pick up on these signs as early as possible?
Early detection and early intervention is so important when it comes to hearing loss. Hearing loss is the third most common chronic health condition after heart disease and arthritis. So it's a lot more common than many people realize. And it's compounded even further because it's invisible and tends to happen gradually. So because it happens gradually, we often adapt to those changes and don't realize that we're doing that until they become more significant. And when you live with untreated hearing loss, it impacts so many aspects of our lives. It impacts social aspects. You know, if you think about what we use our hearing for socially, communication is key. Mm-hmm. And when that starts to break down, we start to avoid those situations, which can lead to feelings of isolation, loneliness, and even depression. There's physical impact. So untreated hearing loss has been linked to an increased risk of falls. And that can have devastating consequences as we get older. And then there are also impacts on our cognition and our brain health. And if you think about it, we detect sounds with our ears, but we interpret them and understand them at the level of the brain. And when that starts to break down, we're no longer getting that same amount of stimulation and information to the brain. So it's really important to identify and treat that so that you continue to keep those connections active and strong throughout our lifespan.
Such a great point that this goes beyond just the obvious in terms of the impact that this has on our lives and our livelihoods. So what does a hearing health assessment look like? I mean, kind of take us through, you know, what people should know about getting a hearing health assessment.
Sure. Getting a hearing health assessment is really easy. It's quick. It doesn't take a lot of time and it's painless. And, you know, based on the results of the test, the hearing professional will go over those with you and will make any recommendations that could include further evaluation for solutions such as hearing aids and address any communication challenges you might be experiencing as well. So I would encourage anybody that's noticing changes in their hearing to make an appointment to get a hearing assessment. And in honor of better hearing, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and in obviously, you know, speaking to your business at Beltone, if hearing assistance devices are necessary, people have more options and better options than ever before with modern technology.
Absolutely. Yes, these are not our grandparents' hearing aids any longer. In fact, the hearing technology is amazing, and it's so easy to use, and the sound quality is phenomenal. They sound so much more natural, and they seamlessly integrate into our modern lifestyle. You know, we all have smartphones. You can now stream music, for example, from your smartphone direct to your hearing aids. You can take phone calls direct to your hearing aids as well. So they really have come a long way.
And then you were saying, again, with May being a Better Hearing Month, you have something special going on.
Yeah, in honor of May being Better Hearing Month, at Belltone, we're offering free hearing screenings nationwide. We have over 1,500 locations throughout the U.S. And to take advantage of that or to find out more about that and schedule an appointment, you can visit our website at belltone.com. That's BELTONE.com. Or you can also call us at 1-800-BELLTONE to learn more.
Very good. Again, MJ D'Souza, audiologist, director of patient experience at Belltone for Better Hearing Month in May, recognizing those important signs of early hearing loss and addressing them in a timely manner. MJ, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So we're coming up on the end of the school year, and this is the traditional time of the year when one of the rites of passages, for graduating seniors is to pull some sort of senior prank. And occasionally they do go overboard, but mostly they are not mean-spirited. They're just a lot of fun, some of the best senior pranks. And at Richwoods High School in Illinois, senior class hired a professional bagpipe player to follow their principal around for an hour. I love it. What a great prank. The class initially wanted to hire a mariachi band for the prank, but that was out of their price range due to higher demand surrounding Cinco de Mayo. So they instead turned to bagpiper Scott Whitman, who said, "We get a fair amount of unusual requests for gigs, but this was my first senior prank request." The principal of the school, Principal Robinson, I don't know his first name, is Principal Robinson, said he actually appreciated the spirit of the stunt. He said, quote, "I thought it was awesome and very creative, and all credit to the students for coming up with something that is not destructive to the school and that the custodians don't have to clean up after." They hired a bagpiper to follow the principal around for an hour. I love that. What an awesome idea. And our apologies in advance to any local or area school principals who may find themselves being serenaded by bagpipes as a result of us sharing this story here. But that is all kinds of awesome. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, Dateline Seaside, California, where Etienne Constable was asked to put up a fence to conceal his boat. He was told last July that he had to install a fence so that neighbors could not see his watercraft. HOA stepped in, the Homeowners Association stepped in and said, "You cannot have this boat visible to the neighbors. It's an eyesore." So they made him put up a fence. So, Mr. Constable, not happy with the added expense of installing a fence, decided to commit an act of malicious compliance. He put up his fence, and then he painted a mural of his boat on the fence. The The gentleman said, quote, "I'm not a rule breaker, but I like to make a statement as necessary, as well as a humorous commentary on the situation." So he was not happy to go through the expense of putting up a fence. So he pointed out that there are no rules against murals on the fence. Put up the fence, and he did not break any rules by painting a picture of his boat on the fence. Got back in the HOA there. That's very clever. Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. The Northwest Ohio Bomb Squad called in on Friday. Did you hear about this? Called in on Friday to the to St. River in Oak Harbor when fishermen found a rocket, mortar rounds, and more various military ammunition in the water, in the river there in Ottawa County, the Toussaint River. Bomb squad had to be called in, safely remove all of the ammo from the river. It is unclear whether the ammunition contained any actual live explosive material, but what in the world were there rockets, mortar rounds, and other military ammunition doing in the river in Ottawa County? It's crazy. And not to be outdone, this in Virginia, Norfolk man actually turns out he gets to keep a unique artifact he turned up in his backyard over the weekend. Andrew Taunton said he was digging up a shrub when he picked up an odd-shaped rock that turned out not to be a rock. It was actually a grenade from World War II. Ooh, that's not something you want to discover in your backyard, and you wonder, how long has that been there? It's right there under the shrub. He called local police, and that led to the dispatch of a huge response from law enforcement, as you might expect. Fire personnel, bomb squad called in. The item was examined and was found to be inert, and Mr. Taunton apparently gets to keep the inert grenade, although I'm not sure I'd want to. You know what I mean? You know, years from now, this is going to cause somebody another anxious moment or two eventually. When Mr. Taunton passes away or something, or moves out of the home and forgets to take his grenade with him, you know that somebody is going to make another call. It's going to be another big to-do. They're going to let him keep it, I guess. This is a sad story. I mean, mostly in the broken news, we have humorous stories like the senior pranks and, you know, things like that. Occasionally, there is a very sad story, but one that has a very unusual twist. And this is in Houston. It says one person is dead after a pizza delivery turned violent. A pizza delivery turned violent. What kind of world do we live in? But here's the twist. It happened over the weekend. The driver knocks on the door of an apartment, and the person answering the door is holding a pistol. So the delivery driver was met by a pistol-packing customer, and the twist is this. The delivery man actually whipped out his own gun and shot the customer. And he was pronounced dead at the scene. It was the customer who answered the door carrying a pistol. The driver pulled out his own gun and shot him. The delivery driver stayed on the scene, cooperated with investigators. He said he was fearful for his life. And I don't know whether he'll be charged, but just a strange twist in that story. It was really weird. And finally, today's broken news report. A Georgia man arrested for riding his lawnmower, which that seems like an odd reason to get arrested, might have had something to do with the fact that he was riding his mower on a stretch of highway while drinking a beer. 64-year-old Willie Leggins, I think is how you pronounce it, was pulled over by the cops, and when the police asked what he was doing on the highway On his lawnmower, drinking a beer, he explained that he was on his way home from a local supermarket, apparently finishing up a beer run. He didn't know he couldn't drive a car while he was drinking, so he was driving his mower. Apparently, according to reports, this wasn't the first time that he has taken his mower out for a spin. Mr. Leggins told deputies he got hit by a car not too long ago while riding his lawnmower on the road. Despite begging the cops for mercy, he was charged with DUI, open container, and a low-speed vehicle violation. Because you can't drive a mower on the highway. You're not going at least relatively close to the speed limit. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Lentz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Memorial Day weekend is a little over a week away, and the folks at AAA are out with their travel forecast for the holiday. And they say that 43.8 million people are going to be traveling 50 miles or more from home for Memorial Day. That's their forecast, 43.8 million. That is not only a 4% increase in the number of travelers last year, it is the most in 20 years and within striking distance of the record 44 million Memorial Day weekend travelers back in 2005. So it could be a record setter. Certainly, it is a full recovery from the pandemic era at this point. Now, of those 43.8 million people who will be traveling, 38.4 million, they say, will be hitting the road. That is, in fact, the highest number of vehicle travelers, travelers by car, highest number since AAA started tracking this 24 years ago in the year 2000. So 38.4 million on the roads, another 3.5 million are expected to fly, but the airports and the highways won't be the only places that are crowded. Demand for other methods of transportation, and I thought this was interesting, buses, trains, cruises, also expected to be pretty strong. An estimated 1.9 million people are expected to take one of those other modes of transportation. That is a 5.6% increase from a year ago. So actually, buses, trains, cruises outpacing the increase in Memorial Day travel overall. And that is certainly good news because those are industries that were particularly hard hit during the pandemic. And so they continue to recover from those hardships. So that is good news as well. And for those who will be traveling, because you always want to know about this, gas prices are pretty much the same as last year at roughly $3.57 a gallon, although AAA warns that prices may creep higher with fluctuating oil prices being a wild card given the global situation we have, wars in the Middle East and Ukraine potentially putting pressure on oil markets, so we don't really know exactly what's going to be happening, but as of right now, looks like gas prices will be fairly similar to where they were last year. So, bottom line, if you are traveling for Memorial Day weekend next weekend, if you have plans, you are not alone. You will, as we always say, those busy travel holidays, pack your patience because you're gonna need it with the crowds out there on the roads, on the highways, and other forms of transportation as well. Well, we have talked at length on the show about the ways technology is impacting the workplace, just about every workplace, from the factory floor to the C-suite. But here's something we really haven't talked about much. It's kind of interesting, the way technology can help address the challenges of safety and monitoring in the workplace. Noah Hickey is CEO of Whiparound. It is a system that streamlines management of business assets and vehicles. And Noah, talk a little bit about how you do that and how this platform was developed.
Yeah, well, I mean, to make it relative to all of us, really, if you think about the delivery of a package that you had this week, or the landscaping that got done at your place, or the truck that picked up your trash, all of those vehicles need to be safe and maintained for the driver to be able to make that happen. So what we've done at Whiparound is we've created a comprehensive software system, and it's in inspections and maintenance. And it means that those drivers, or even someone at the workplace, can inspect that vehicle. They can make sure that it is safe and well maintained to be able to go out and do that job that day. Not only does this help that happen, but it helps, you know, distractions of engine lights going off, service issue, whatever it might be, and it helps the business keep moving. So what we've done is we've created a platform that's fully customizable and allows those vehicles to go off and do the job that they've set out to do by being inspected and maintained.
So there are essentially four components to this in terms of inspections, maintenance, tracking, and compliance. Kind of go through those and explain what the system does and how it streamlines and improves the processes in those areas.
Yeah, perfect. So every day that a driver goes in and clocks in for the day, they need to inspect that vehicle so that they know it's ready to go and it's in safe working order. Now, before that, the mechanic will have made sure that it's maintained and all of the service and the work orders have been done to it to go out and do that. But with Whiparound, you can do that inspection easily on an app, which is either on your phone or your tablet. And by doing that, all that information travels immediately to either the fleet manager, the mechanic, if there was something that they found which needs to be repaired or even, you know, out of service to go off and get repaired, which might take longer. When that's done, they can go off and they can do the job. And at different times, of course, something might happen. So there might be a defect that happens out when you're out working or out on the road.
Yeah.
They can also go back to the app and they can log that. And immediately back at the site, the work site or the workplace, they'll know about that as well. So they know that whoever is, you know, at the work site or the workplace, they know that they'll be informed if anything happens straight away. But they also know that for the most part, that vehicle or that asset is out there and it's good for the day and they don't have to worry about it, so to speak. So we make sure that happens. And with Whiparound, you can also change and customize what you want to be inspected. So it can have photo cards and you can do mandatory photos, which makes sure that that particular thing is inspected, all the while giving a company the ability to tick the box that they've put a safe fleet of vehicles on the road for their drivers. They put their drivers in a safe place. The drivers can feel that they have also checked this, that they feel confident. And you know, what the interesting thing is, what we're also really passionate about is that it also makes the environment for all of us who have nothing to do with that particular part of the scenario, but we get the end product, which is a delivery or the service that company offers.
Sure.
And it's a safe environment because this company's looking after it.
And just for comparison's sake, I mean, previously, this is all stuff that was done via paper logs and a paper trail and so on, which, okay, that's well and good and certainly is good for documentation, but it's not, doesn't provide you the kind of speed and comprehensive tracking of this that the technology allows.
Yeah, that's bang on. And so I was in the cab of one of our drivers the other day in Arizona, actually. And as they were running me through the processes, they've been a driver, professional driver for 30 years. They were showing me that, look, this is what I used to have to do, Noah. It, I just never know if the vehicle was getting repaired. I didn't know what was going on or what was happening. And I'd write it down on my paper. And he said, this has completely changed my life. At first, it was hard to think about, but now, and it's in different languages, by the way. This is particular one wasn't in English. So as you work through, you can do it in different languages. They now know exactly what's happened or happening with the vehicle. They know that they can do the inspection, that other people get to see it and act on it straight away. So this, from paper to digital, it means that everything's in real time. And you can do things that are preventative versus finding something and then having to log it. And, and that's a real change, because when those wheels aren't moving, those vehicles, it costs the company, you know, $3,500 plus just in the jobs that aren't getting done alone. Plus the drivers don't get to do the job that they want to do. So real-time information and what technology is helping these companies achieve is just so important.
And you were alluding to this earlier, but I think it's worth underscoring. I mean, when we talk about this in relationship to businesses with a fleet of vehicles, I mean, the obvious thing that will come to mind are logistics companies, delivery companies, that kind of thing. But really, there are an awful lot of different industries where a business would have a vehicle or fleet of vehicles, and this can be customized for any need, right?
Oh, very much so. And, you know, as we've evolved from an inspection application, we're now, you think of not just the vehicle, you think of all of the assets on site. Now, one that's always relatable to people is a good friend of mine. He's a fireman at the local fire station here. And when you look at the job that they do, they're heroes to the community. So when he needs to be ready for action, and the same with the full team, they want to know that it's inspected, that it's maintained, and that it's always ready to go, because they go out and, you know, save lives. With no matter what the job is that they're going out to do, it's important to the community. So with them, we can inspect the vehicle, we can inspect the entire work site. So the uniforms are there ready to go. They can, every single part of the process that they have to do to get out there and be the hero, that it is inspected, maintained, and ready for action. We did that, though, with a lot of companies across the board, which is what you were just saying. And we want to help anyone out there who's got a fleet of vehicles, whether you're a driver, mechanic, fleet manager. It's the same as that fire department or fire station example. We'll inspect all of the things on your site and make sure that they're ready for use or ready for action, so to speak.
Applying modern technology to address the challenges of safety and monitoring in the workplace. Noah Hickey is CEO of Whiparound. And where do we get more information, Noah?
You can go to whiparound.com. So that's whiparound.com.
Noah, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more info on the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.